know, in America, this is one of the, to speak to Hashim, in America, this is one of the biggest problems. You know, I heard from Brad Paris said once that in Europe they didn't have this problem. In Europe, this autumn, he said like this. He said in Europe, people had much more cover for themselves. In Europe, people dress. Even nowadays in Europe, I think it's much better than America. In Europe, people, at least was, I don't know, but people dress a certain way. People had a certain dignity about themselves, and then there was a certain chashivas a person had for himself and for others. In America, one of the biggest problems in America, biggest problems, you know, am I right? One of the biggest problems in America is self-confidence. Most people don't have enough self-confidence. Most people don't have enough self-confidence. They're the rare few that go overboard. Most people, you know, you could assume 95 or 99% of people do not have enough self-chashivas, do not have enough self-confidence. It's a big problem in America. And you see, you know, Ray Perry was saying that, he was saying, like, for example, it happens when you have a president named, at that point, Clinton was a president, when you have a president named Bill. Bill. You know, just the name Bill is not a, you know, Joe, you know, Bobby. These are the types of names of our presidents, and besides all the other things attributed to them, there's no chashivas anymore. The president of the United States is not a does not have the certain thing, you know, it's not dignified. So the whole stature, that's what American people dress, the pretzels, everything like that, that shows a lack of a chashivas, you know, there's a lack of chashivas for yourself. People are not embarrassed to expose themselves. People are not embarrassed to dress in funny ways because they don't have cover for themselves. When a person should have cover for himself, he shouldn't want to embarrass himself. A person should have cover for himself. Now, people think, people get confused many times. Okay, this is a very, you know, big misconception. A person might say, oh, you know, what do you mean? Isn't the low self-confident person the humble, the unav? And isn't the super self-confident person a bankaiva? So many times people think that, you know, people, you know, pat themselves, well, it's, you know, it's good to have my humility. You know, it's not a bad thing, it's humility. And when they see someone else, that has a lot of guts, they sometimes try to make themselves feel better. And they say, oh, he's such a bald guy, so arrogant. He thinks, you just speak whatever you know, sometimes people step over lines. But person says, oh, he's a bald guy. It's too much, you know that expression, too much confidence. I don't know if there's such a thing as too much confidence. I love it. There's a certain Bacher, some of you guys know. He has so much confidence. I've never seen anything like it. He has so much confidence. He's not scared to speak to people. He has so much confidence. I hold that his parents are wonderful parents. Wonderful. I met his father, but I never met them, you know, spoke to them personally. His parents must be wonderful. Because how could a kid have so much confidence without his parents being, you know, if his parents were on top of him, if his parents were critical? This kid just has so much confidence, so he's not afraid to speak to Rosh Yeshiva. He's not afraid, not disrespectfully. He's not afraid of his own shadow. He's not afraid of making a fool out of himself. He has confidence. That's not arrogance. It's a beautiful thing. This Bacher speaks to all the Rosh Yeshivas in the Mir. He speaks to all the Rebbeim because he's not afraid of himself. It's a wonderful thing. You know how far you can go if you have guts, you have confidence. It's a wonderful thing. Now, let me show you. It's hard to try to explain, but let me just show you how you see. I'll prove to you that confidence and gaiva, anivas, have absolutely no connection. Because we're gonna, you know, wrote down a few questions. A person ask you a few questions. Where do you see a person's humility? It's very hard to know if a person's an anav or not. How does a person know if he's an anav or not? Maybe I'm an anav. Maybe I'm not an anav. How do you know? A person says, "Oh, I'm an anav because I think of myself as 2 cents." Maybe. Let's ask a few questions here. Sort of like this. Do you, a person think to himself, is he embarrassed to ask, you know, let's say I think myself, you know, so I'm a call. Would I be embarrassed? I won't answer the question, but I'm just asking the question. Would I be embarrassed to ask a younger Beis Medrash Bacher, first year, I tell him, I don't know what this word means. You know, can you help me with the word? I really don't, and I really think this Bacher might. Would I be uncomfortable asking him, someone else younger than me, does he know the answer? Am I comfortable going to other people's shiurim? Am I comfortable going to my chaverim's shiurim? Am I comfortable, you know, am I comfortable speaking highly about other people? I know there are many people, you know, every person think about this to himself. Many people that don't have self-confidence and will have a very hard time, will have an extra hard time going over to someone younger than them or someone lower than them and asking them a question, asking them for advice, asking them a question, even if they think that the person can help them. Does the person have a hard time saying, I don't know? You know, I've said this before, I like this one a lot, but now I'm really stuck, because anytime anyone asks me a question, I'm going to have to say the truth. Someone asks you a question, he says, what's up, Shana Tysis? So you think about it, right? And it could be, even if you don't have a clue what's going on, you might still pretend to think about it. And then you come out and you say, after much delay, you come out, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm not sure the pshat. It's good cash. I'm not sure the pshat. What do you mean you're not sure? Do you mean you're not sure if you had to learn the taisus like the ksais, like a kibbeger? How to learn the taisus so you learn it based on the ritfus path? You're not trying to learn the taisus. I'm not sure. Of course, the person's going to know what you're talking about when you say you're not sure, right? Or is that what you say when you say you're not sure? You have two pshatim, you're not sure which pshat's right. You're just too lazy to tell them. Usually when a person has a safi, he, you know, tells the guy, well, you could either learn this way in taisus, I'm not sure, this way in taisus. The person's I'm not sure is just a delicate way of saying on himself, a very delicate way of saying, I don't know. But it's uncomfortable for a person to say he doesn't know. So he says, I'm not sure. Person asks you, you ever have this? Person asks you for a taisus word. Person says, what's this word mean? I'm not sure. You're not sure. You have a guess. Does it mean elephant? Does it mean hippopotamus? What do you mean not sure? Terry, to the person has a hard time saying he doesn't know. So he says, I'm not sure. For some reason, the person feels better saying he's not sure than saying he doesn't know. If you're not sure, you can say you're not sure. But we say we're not sure when we don't know. The Gemara says in Brachas, Lama l'shaincha leimar in yadea. You should teach yourself to say you don't know. Teach yourself to say you don't know. Because it's not easy to say you don't know. Teach yourself. Practice. Say it. I don't know. It's a nice thing to say. Now, does a person with low self-confidence have an easy time saying, I don't know? And a person with a lot of self-confidence, oh, he never can say he doesn't know. The person with self-confidence never can admit he doesn't know. Is that how it works? Let's see if I have another example. Can a person admit he's wrong? I think these are examples of anava. Can a person admit he's wrong? Someone asks a kash, tells him his pshat, has a kash on his pshat. Can he say, I'm wrong, my pshat's wrong? Or a person tells him, you know, I don't think you should have done this thing to someone. I know you didn't do it on purpose, but he got insulted. He says, you're right, I was wrong. Or he says, well, I don't know, you know, the person should have taken it that way, and this and that. Excuses after excuse. Or can he say, chatasi, I did the wrong thing? That's a symbol of humility. There's a story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, a famous story. That Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was giving shir. I saw recently in the Majegas Adam that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was giving a shir, and in the middle, someone asked the kasha. And not only that, I think I heard from Rabbi Per that sometimes in shiurim there was a lot of pressure. I think it says there, and there was a sefer also. There was a lot of pressure, so to say, not pressure. But Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was a founder of the Musar movement, and he had his oppositions. And I think the people that were coming to Shir, I have to double check, were interested in seeing how great Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was, how great was his Torah before we accept his whole, you know, his Mahalach and Musar. So now he's going to say a Shir. I imagine one of these guys asked him a question. So what Rabbi, someone asked him a good kasha. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, he stopped the Shir. Close the safe. He said, I don't know. The Shir's over. I don't have an answer. My pshat slugged up. Afterwards, one of the Talmidim asked him, said, well, Rebbe didn't have a pshat. He said, the truth is, I think he said that I had different ways of answering him on the spot. I don't think he thought of the question, obviously, but I had different ways of answering him. At any of the terutzim I would have given him, it would have made him happy. You know, Bachar has a shir, and the Rebbe sometimes is stuck. Give him a teretz. Usually the Bachar feels so good that he has a good kasha, then, yeah, whatever the Rebbe says. So he said, I could have given him a good teretz. Not just a teretz. Rebbe Sosa said, I would have given a good teretz that he would have thought was totally fine. A good teretz. But I knew him, myself that it wasn't necessarily right. And therefore, and I said to myself, then I said to myself, but what do you mean? This is totally in the Mussar, in teaching Mussar, there's a lot dependent on this. Maybe these people are not going to respect me. And then he said, I'm not sure if I'm saying this 100%, all right? But he, then Rabbi Shmuel Salanter said to himself, he said, I'm the one that's preaching Mussar, and I'm going to be a faker? I'm the one that's preaching Mussar, and I'm going to fool someone here? And he sat down. That's humility. Another example of humility. And I like this when I see certain bracha. I'm very impressed with some bracha in this area. In Bechal, this yeshiva, it's very a beautiful thing. Am I happy? Do I praise other people? Can I compliment someone? When someone else speaks, when someone else daments for the Amud, or when someone else is, can I praise someone else? Can I praise all that bracha? Such a nice bracha, such a good bracha. Can I praise other people? It's a beautiful thing in Waterbury. It's a beautiful thing. Kuberi Kalish pointed out recently, but I've noticed this before, that the guys, when someone goes in the middle, even people that put funny yarmulkes on their head, no matter what they do, the whole ilam starts cheering and clapping one after the other. Every bachur goes in. You know, it's a very good sign, because that means that we're happy and we're excited, and we can give the person who's going in the middle respect and kavod, as opposed to many times. On the other hand, guys that are not, don't have good midos, they can make a face, like, what's that guy doing in the middle, or they'll ignore him. Many times the person's jealous because the guy's getting, he doesn't want to give the guy attention. That's another sign of humility. For example, also on this area, did you ever have, I don't know if you've ever had this before, someone's telling you, this happens many times, Chavetz Chaim, and he talks about, it's a standard Lashon Hara case, but, you're talking to your friend, and I tell Reuven, Shimon is such a good guy, such a tzaddik, so impressed with Shimon. Now, Reuven and Shimon are very close friends, and they're all close friends. When you talk about a Rebbe, it's very easy. But let's say Reuven, I'm friendly with Reuven and Shimon, and I'm talking to Reuven, and Shimon's not there, and I say, I'm so impressed with Shimon. I'm such a good guy. Ugh, he's such a nice guy, such a masman. Now, what does Reuven start thinking? I'm telling this to Reuven about Shimon. What does Reuven start thinking to himself? Well, he's a masman. He's a masman, not me. All of a sudden, Reuven starts thinking, Reuven a lot of times has a hard time swallowing when someone else is being praised in front of him. You can have a hard time swallowing when someone else is praising. So either you swallow, if you're a good guy, you swallow, you hold yourself back and you say, yeah, yeah. Inside it's hurting you. You say, he's a good guy, and it's hurting you. Or chas v'shalom, many times a person says, well, he's so good. I remember I was walking with someone. I was walking with my wife, and my wife was telling me, I don't remember this clear example, and my wife was telling me about someone else, that I knew, he must be so smart. And I was like thinking to myself, my mom should such a yitzhar to say, I think I held back, such a yitzhar to say, what do you mean? I know the guy, I'm much smarter, she thinks he's, my wife, because she thinks that he's so smart, and be careful, okay? He's so smart, and I'm not so smart, because automatically when someone else starts praising someone else, we always start worrying about little old self, little old me, and you start thinking, what about me, On the other hand, another person who's on the right madrega, when he hears someone else being praised, he says, yeah, he's takaso, he's so chashev, and he's happy the other person's being praised, and he joins into the praise. That's a simon of anivas, and if a person cannot stand when someone else is being praised, that's a simon of gaiva. Many times a rabbi speaking in the shul, I've heard this before, it's so disgusting. A rabbi speaking in the shul, and I've heard this before, and the guy says next to him, you know, he makes fun of the vocabulary of the rabbi. So here he goes. Oh, here he goes talking about Israel again. Thinks he knows, you know, all those people. Much of that comes from gaiva, because a person can't stand that the rabbi has that pulpit up there, and he doesn't like the rabbi anyways. But part of it, a lot of it, because he can't stand the rabbi has that kavod, has a pulpit. He has to knock. Many people like to knock. People like to knock other people because of their gaiva, because they can't stand it that someone else is being put up. They can't stand that someone else is being put up higher than them. That's a simon of gaiva. If a person is happy to hear other people's praises and he could praise other people, that's a simon of anava. I'm not saying we all, you know, it's something to work on. So all those examples I just gave you are simons of anava or gaiva. That has nothing to do. None of those questions have anything to do with self-confidence and having self-confidence or not. But actually it does for the negative. Because a person that doesn't have self-confidence, he is so tormented and is so worried about himself that he's not chashuv, that he definitely cannot admit he doesn't know. He definitely can't admit he's wrong. Because when he admits he's wrong, he just shattered himself to pieces. I'm wrong. I made him. He can't admit anything that he did wrong because he's so sensitive and he's so weak about who he is, that if he says he's wrong, he punches like it's like, you know, he's collapsing. He's giving himself up. He's giving himself. I don't know. He's like giving himself up. I'm an idiot. I don't know. Because when he says he doesn't know, he thinks that means he's an idiot. Because he doesn't have confidence. He can't stand when someone else is getting covered, because when someone else is getting covered, he's jealous. That guy's good. I'm nothing. That guy's good. I'm nothing. Everything's he's good. I'm nothing. He's good. I'm nothing. When you don't have self-confidence, you cannot. If you don't have self-confidence, you can't be anav, because it's impossible. You won't be able to survive. You end up being a baal gaiva. You know. And the opposite. If a person has chashivas for himself, then he has no problems giving other people kavod. You know, I'll give you a small mouth, right? If a person has a beautiful voice, you know, this is a partial example. A person has a beautiful voice, and he davens for the amen, and everyone says, you know, everyone admits, he has a beautiful voice. And when he hears someone else daven for the amen, who doesn't have such a nice voice, but the guy davened nicely, he has no problem whatsoever going to the guy and say, oh, Shkreich, you davened very nicely. Because it's not contrasting to me. Everyone knows I'm the big boy. Everyone knows I'm the beautiful voice. I can give him as much praise in the world as possible. Because I know, it's not a good, by the way, I mean, it comes because it's only because he has a beautiful voice. I'm just giving the example. When you're not threatened, you can accept someone else's Milo. But if the person himself, you know, he wishes they would ask, he doesn't understand why they don't ask me to daven for the amen. It's such a nice voice. He doesn't understand. How come they don't ask me to daven for the amen? They ask that guy to daven for the amen. He doesn't know how to daven. They ask this guy. How come they never ask me to daven for the amen? They've heard me before. How come they don't ask me to daven again? Right? The person's wondering. How come they don't ask me to do again? And then someone else daven to the, you know, maybe Taka, maybe listen to yourself on tape. Maybe that's not your talent. Maybe it's not your talent. You know. But that person hears someone else daven for the amen, it's very hard for him to tell the guy, oh, you daven so nicely. Because it's so crushing to him that someone else daven nicely, someone else got the daven, he did it. He can't handle it. He just can't deal with it. You know, I have a beautiful line here from, you know, Shaya Zechron and Lebracha. I know this was one of some of his favorite musavads. We talked about, we did this last year, 2 years ago. We spoke about self-confidence for a few days, 2-3 days. And Shaya has like, Shaya didn't write down all my musavads. He just wrote down the things that he, you know, thought were important to write over. And in self-confidence, Imamish wrote down, like, took up like 2-3 pages. So I know I have Shaya's Eskama and stuff on it. He liked it. And he wrote down a line here. Now, it could be maybe, you know, maybe it's not my line because it sounds too good. Maybe Shaya made it up. But the line that's written down here, it could be Shaya's. He says, if you can accept you're a jewel, then you can learn to accept the diamond next to you. So that's the line I wrote down. If you can accept you're a jewel, then you can learn to accept the diamond next to you. If you think you're a piece of dirt, then no one else next to you want to be a jewel. No one next to you want to have chashivas, because if I'm a piece of dirt, then everyone's got to be a piece of dirt too, if not worse. So it's very so important for a person. Confidence is actually help for, brings to another person that has proper self-confidence. Not I'm better than everyone else. That's not called confidence. Not I'm better than everyone else. It means I am chashev. I'm a yid. I'm chashev. I'm doing good things with my life. And if I'm not, I have potential to. I have tremendous potential. And I am a very special person. And I'm very special. No one can take that away from me. I have my own uniqueness. I'm a very special person. And everyone else around me, Baruch Hashem, is also so special. This is a matter of pikuach nefesh. It's a matter of health. If a person doesn't have self-confidence, he is not healthy. He should know one of the biggest things, one of the most important things in raising children, I think. You know, I'm not an expert, but one of the most important things is how much confidence to give your children. How much confidence do you give your children? If a person himself doesn't have confidence, he will not give his wife confidence, he will not give his children confidence. A person has confidence. You know, you call your kid a tzaddik. You call your kid a tzaddik. By the way, that makes him feel that, you know, he knows he's not. By the way, I've said this before, remember. You know, you could tell this to another yeshiva bacha. Not now, it won't work. But you could tell another yeshiva bacha and say, you're such a tzaddik. He starts saying, no, I'm not. I'm not really a tzaddik. What did he think I meant? You think I meant that you're, when I say you're a tzaddik, what do I mean? I meant you, mama, should reach the madriga of Moshe Rabbeinu. But the person, people, you know, when a person calls someone else a tzaddik, the person feels so good that it comes in enough, they start having to defend it, you know. It penetrates. So even if you tell a little kid you're a tzaddik, well, a tzaddik, he's learning Torah, but it gives him a feeling about himself, and that eventually the person will want to be, he wants to be that tzaddik. If a person thinks he's a great person, you know, he could become a great person. If a person thinks he's nothing, he could remain a nothing, he will be a nothing. There are many parents that keep comes home. There are many parents that come home with good report cards. I'm not saying now you should go ahead and you know, have titles on your parents. All right, Mirtz Hashem, if they made mistakes, you should know better. That's why I'm talking about it. But many times, a child comes home with a report card. A parent says, oh, you know, oh, very nice, very nice. The kid got straight A's. Oh, very nice. You know, good job. You know, or worse, a kid comes home with one A minus. The parent says, "Why can you do better? Why'd you get an A minus?" Not trying to be mean, but not understanding that the most important thing to do for your child is when he comes with a report card, no matter what his grades are, as long as he tried, is, wow, you should make such a big deal. I'm so proud of you. You got eight. Wow, you got A's. How'd you do it? You know how we did it. The class wasn't so hard. How'd you do it? It's amazing. I'm so proud of you. That gives a kid such a boost. In Mamash, many kids, Chas Hashem, that go off the derech, sometimes, not all the time, a lot of it is totally incompetence. A kid doesn't feel smart, and his parents don't know how to help him, make him feel smart. It's not always a parent's fault. But many times the kid himself doesn't have confidence, and he thinks he gives up on himself. You know? I know a story. My grandmother told me that, you know, she has a relative that the child wasn't so smart. This lady does well for herself, but as a child she was not school smart in the slightest sense. She would basically fail courses. And my grandmother told me a beautiful thing. The mother would never show her the report card. The report card would come home. The mother would throw it out. The kid would say, "Oh my." The mother would go over. The kid would ask, "How'd I do?" He said, "You did very well. I'm very proud of you. The teachers are very happy with your effort." Because the mother knew that it wasn't the kid's fault. The kid wasn't doing so well. Because the kid wasn't smart. So what should you do? Bury the kid? Oh, you failed again? And this kid is a very, this lady became, you know, successful in what she's doing. She's not going to be in school the rest of her life. There are other things to do besides taking tests. You know? And even if a kid doesn't put in the effort, he should. But burying him just makes him go down. You know, when a person's on the extreme level, just to show you extreme, what happens when a person's depressed? He doesn't get out of bed. Why? Because inside he feels his life is not worth so much, that he has, his existence is so important in the world that he has to bring himself out of bed. He can remain in bed. He's not so important. That's the extreme. That's extreme depression. But anywhere from high self-confidence to depression, the person who has more self-confidence functions much better. He functions with much, much, much better. It's partially a matter of health. I said this before. Just to show you how far it goes. A friend of mine told me that his father was probably about 50. His father told him, you know, Yanko, people are telling me at work that I'm smart. Yanko, is it true? The father is asking his son, and that's why parents who don't have confidence can't give it to their kids, because the parents have to get the confidence from their kids. The parent asks the kid, Yanko, am I really smart? People say I'm smart. Nemach, he has to walk around his whole life not appreciating the fact that he's smart, not being happy about the fact that he's smart, because no one ever told it to him before. Finally, at 50, some people start told it to him. And now he thinks, and now he feels good. He's smart. All this whole time, he didn't know he's smart. You should know. If a guy has a beautiful voice, and he davens for Amen, and no one would tell him that he's davening nicely, no one said anything to him, the guy will think that he does not have a good voice. The only way people have confidence is with the help of other people. A person doesn't believe in himself. He needs some help. Well, I'll end with one last thing from the Gra, just to show you how important it is. The Gra says that I heard this from Rabbi Moshe Katz, and I believe I looked it up. I think it's in Brachos, I think in the fourth paragraph. But the Gra says the biggest chesed to give to a person is give him kavod. Is to give him kavod, because that is where a person lives on kavod. If a person does have kavod for himself, I don't know kavod. Everyone stands up for him. I'm talking about kavod for himself, not public. A person does not have cover for himself, he cannot survive. He does not exist properly. The biggest chesed, more than giving anyone else, giving him food, giving him anything, is to give him cover. That's the biggest chesed you do for a person. Without a person's cover for himself, we'll talk more about cover for yourself, but a person will not succeed as much as he's capable of doing. To be continued. I'd like to continue discuss. We ended off with, we were saying how important it is for a person to have self-confidence, because then he'll be able to give over self-confidence to his children. Just talk about a few more minutes, just so it should be drilled into our heads. A young child, you know, especially his first few years, the only people that he's really in contact with, or the people that he's most in contact with, are his parents. Not only is he always in contact with his parents, but his parents are totally, his first few years, are completely his role model. And even after the first few years, a child has tremendous respect naturally. A child has tremendous respect for his parents. It might not be displayed always, as a child might disobey his parents, a child might, you know, give his parents a hard time. But deep down, every child really, really cares that his parents should love him, that his parents should respect him, his parents should think highly of them. And they care, most children, most of them, even adults, care very much about how their parents think of them. And much more than another person thinks of them, even if they know their parents are not tzaddikim, their parents are not as chashuv as their next door neighbors or as their friends, but they care most, especially children, care most about what their parents think of them. And mamish children are b'chomer v'yad ha'yotzer. The mamish clay in the hands of the potter. In other words, they're totally totally molded by how their parents look at them. A child, every person, I'll tell you, you know, the one thing what we have to understand, that a person, how does a person develop self-confidence? How does a person value himself? How does a person know how well he's doing? How does a person know anything about himself? It's almost impossible, at least in the beginning, for a person to develop and make judgments without using other people's input. How does a person know he has a good voice? He listens to himself on a tape recorder, but it's still himself. At a very good yisayim. Interesting. A person can never see himself. A person never sees himself from an outsider's view. He never has that view. It's always looking from his own perspective. He can see himself on video camera, and he might realize, whoa, I look so foolish. But even then, he's still looking from his own perspective. It's impossible for a person to really see himself. A person davens for Amud, a person does anything, a person speaks. A person is dependent until he establishes himself. A person is dependent on other people. How could a child assess himself, smart, talented, not talented, without other people's input? And the number one input is from his parents. And if a person's parents don't handle their child properly, the child can ruin their child. And if they handle the child properly, they can give the child such confidence and such hashivas for himself that the child is very successful. The success of the of our children, Mirtz Hashem, is very dependent on how we handle them. You know, when a child's born, there should be a little tag on him that says "handle with care," and that tag should remain there for the next 20, 30 years at least. Handle with care. People do not handle the children with care. Now, there's some parents that, no matter what their child does, no matter how successful the child is, they're always finding things that he could be better at and trying to, we could do this better and do this better. And they don't realize, and even if they really inside value what the child's doing, but they don't express it, and they just express to the child, you know, what he could improve at. He could have got an A+ instead of A-. He could have done this better, that better. And the child does not have self-chashivas. He doesn't have self-confidence. And many times, and this is a little more tricky, that a person can understand, it's not so hard, to try to be positive, it's very important to tell the child, when he does something good, to give him an abundance of attention, abundance of love, abundance of feeling good about himself. Sometimes a parent is stuck, sometimes a parent's in a situation with a child that doesn't live up to his standards for what he wants. Let's say the father's a Rosh Hashiva, and he wants all his children to become huge Tamini, big Tamini Chum, which is fine, which is not fine, and that's, of course, that's admirable, that's what you want from your children. But this child, it's not him, it doesn't go, he doesn't succeed, the child does not want to sit and learn. Or whatever it is, the parent's a doctor, the child doesn't want to be a doctor, he wants to be a plumber. He wants to be a lawyer, chas v'shalom. I mean, chas v'shalom from the parent's perspective. The doctor doesn't want his child to be a lawyer. A lawyer doesn't want his kid to be a doctor. Whatever it is. So many times the parent inside feels upset, and it bothers them that their child is not living up to the child's potential. The child is not doing what he's capable of doing. Many times it's not even the child's fault. But the parent's frustrated inside, and the parent's upset inside that this child is not doing what he could be doing, or what I want him to be doing. So there's some parents that make it clear to their child that they're not happy with what they're doing, they're not happy with how they're doing, and they totally kill their child. But but sometimes a parent's smarter than that. So let's say a parent's smarter than that. He doesn't tell the child that he's really not, you know, he's, let's say, a Talmud Chacham. He doesn't tell the child that it really frustrates him, it really hurts him, that his son is not growing and tired the way he should. It really frustrates him. You know, he's very smart. He doesn't tell him that. But you have to understand, an inside can be seen. A child can pick up, and as any person can pick up, someone's inner feelings. A child can pick up when his father has a special love for his brother. Even if the father never says, "Oh yeah, I love the parents. I don't have a favorite." You know, but saying I don't have a favorite and saying, "Oh, I love all my kids," when I'm equally proud of all my kids. But the parent sees a special love and special chashivas that a parent might have for one child over the other, and that kills the other child, not without saying anything. So the parent, what we have to do as a parent, and it really starts with working on ourselves, is we have to look at the child and appreciate every good thing he does. When this child is not succeeding as much as he should in learning, when the child does a nice thing, when a child goes out and many times these children are very good children. He does a nice thing for his parents. He does a chesed. He goes to minyanim. He makes a seder. He learns. And the parent says, "I'm so proud of you." Not a fake. A parent learns to accept the child and just focus on the child's good. And be happy. Every time the child does something, to be happy, to be full of simcha. And just appreciate everything that the child does. It can't be fake. If it's fake, it's not going to work. It's got to be real. Mitzvah Hashem, we work on ourselves properly, we'll understand how to do it for our kids. You know? It's the most important thing for a parent to realize is he has to give his kid tons of confidence and love. I want to point out something. I realized thinking about what I would say today. That what's love? Why does love make a person feel so? Love makes a person feel so good. Love makes us feel good. When someone feels someone loves us, it makes us feel good. Why? I realized it's not love that makes us feel good, really. It's that self-worth that's given because this person loves me. Oh, he loves me. I feel so good about myself. He must love me because I do good things. He doesn't have to tell me why he loves me. When he shows me love, that makes me feel good about myself. I am loved. It makes me feel good about myself. If a parent goes around saying, hugging kids, you know, "I love you, you're my son, I love you, you're my child." I love you even though you're not so smart. I love you even though you're not doing what you could be doing. I love you even though that's not going to give the kid anything. Because if the kid's not feeling good, the kid's feeling bad. Just the fact that his parent loves him is not it. It's the love that gives the person that chashivas, that gives the person that confidence. If the love is with strings of saying that the child is not the way they should be, that's not going to work. And also, I was thinking that there's no shortage of love to give to your child. There's no limit to the love you give to your child. There's no limit to the love you give to your child. For example, let's say a child does something wrong. Let's say a child does something wrong and you have to punish him, right? So I think there's a mistake that we can make. A parent's upset at the child. Of course, if he gets angry, we have to learn sharakas. So if the parent is very intelligent, look what could be done. Imagine a child makes trouble. And the parent says, "I have to, my little 2-year-old, let's say he makes trouble, I have to put him in the crib. You know how I could put him in the crib? I could pick him up. I'm not angry. I'm not saying I don't get angry. I do get angry. But this is what I could do. I could pick him up, give him kisses. I love you, Shmuel. I love you. I love you. You're a good boy, but I have to punish you. I feel bad. I have to put you in the crib. I love you." And put him in the crib. You could do punishments with full of love. Any punishment you give your child, that doesn't mean, by the way, a parent that spoils a child is wrong. And it's not necessarily love. It could be weakness on the parent. It's not good to spoil your child. The child needs to be corrected. But the correction is not a contradiction to love. Many times the parents, when they get upset at their child, and they give their child, you know, mussar and this and that, they punish them. It's with kas. It's with anger. It's with, you're not a good boy. You're not a good boy. You're not a good boy, Shmuel Yehuda. You're not a good boy. I'm putting you in the crib. I'm very upset at you. Why do I have to do that for? That's wrong. as Heshi would say, it's, as you know, it's not you're not a good boy. You're a good boy. You're just not doing good things with yourself. Don't label. Image. Image. When you tell the child you're not a good boy, you're labeling him. You're giving him an image. You can punish your child with full of love. I don't know many parents that do this. Full of love. Why is it a stira? I love you so much. It's only a stira because you're angry, because you're taking out your frustration on the child. But if a person learned to control his anger and frustration, didn't take it personally, and just felt that you have to punish a child, that punishment would be full of love. I love you so much. I'll give you a hug and kiss. I love you. I feel so terrible. Listen, my child cries at night. He wants to come out of the crib. And I know he has to sleep. So is that a... I do it. I'm saying it's not a chiddush, but they were pashut. I go over to him. I love you. I feel bad that I have to let you cry, but I can't. I feel terrible. I can't take you out of the crib. You have to learn to sleep in the crib. I feel awful. I do. And my kid cries. I try not to. I stay. I listen to him cry. I don't just ignore him. I feel bad. I don't want to ignore it. I feel bad. I let him cry, and I feel bad about it. I don't have to be a cruel person. I feel bad. You should feel bad when your kid cries. You just have to let him cry anyway. But why do you have to punish him with anger, without love? You can punish with love. Imagine if a parent would punish this kid with love. That means there's only love. There's only love to my child. Imagine what type of child you produce with love. The child won't have resentment when you punish him, because your punishments will be fair, because they're without anger, without frustration, without personal, trying to upset with you. Imagine what you could do for your child. All love. All love. It's a beautiful, amazing thing what a parent is capable of, what we are capable of being as parents, just giving our kid love. It's not possible the child's not going to be successful. It's not possible. Apitava. It's not possible the child will be successful. It's not possible the child's not going to love you. It's not possible the child's not going to want to emulate you if you're such a person. It takes a lot of work on yourself to have that control and have that intelligence. You know, someone came over to me after the musavat yesterday and told me, he didn't do well on one of his report cards, and his parents came over to him, and they said to him, "You have such good brains. You're such a smart boy. How come you didn't do well? Do you know the world of a difference between going over to kid and saying you're so smart? I don't know how. I can't understand how you didn't do well in English, as opposed to going over to him and saying, I don't understand. Were you slacking off? You could have done better than that. Do you know the difference? Do you know how much faster the child will accept what you're saying when it comes with love, when it comes with making him feel good? You know the difference? It's a world of a difference. You're not attacking him. People don't like to be attacked, and when you attack someone, they rebel. But if you don't attack his value as a person, fakir, you tell the person, you tell the child that you're wonderful, but I can't. What's going on over here? The child will accept what you're saying. I told you the story. I told you the story with the guy that came to me in the mirror with a sugar Torah, and I held the sugar Torah was wrong, and there was a bunch of terrors to slug it, to tell him why it was wrong. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I didn't want to. The guy came over to you. And listen carefully. When a guy comes over to you to ask you a kasha and learning, if a guy came over to tell me sugar Torah, it's obvious that he wants my approval. It's obvious that he wants to walk away feeling good. It's obvious that it's not pshat. He came to me because he wants me to see if his Torah is MS. Could have gone to Rebbe. Could have gone to someone higher than me. So on. He wants to see if I hold the Torah as MS. He's mamish machshav MS of Torah. It could be it's true. It could be his machshav MS of Torah. But also the person deep down wants me to tell him that it's a good sugar Torah. Now if I go ahead and tell him, oh, very nice, but it's shver. So the person you just took away, you took the rug under his feet. So I'll tell you an amazing thing. I said to him, I told this before, I said to him, I had to go far. I said to him, that's an aluyish shtickle tire. I don't know how you thought of such a shtickle. It was aluyish. It was aluyish. I don't know how anyone could have thought of it. It was aluyish. It was aluyish shtickle tire. But I don't know why you have to say that, because, Rashi says this, whatever it was. As soon as I told him it was aluyish shtickle tire, you should know, I knew. The person would be more than happy to accept why it was wrong. Because he doesn't care if the tire was wrong so much. He cared whether he would come out feeling good about himself or not. You know, I want to tell you, someone reminded me of this. And I want to tell you, you know, we're talking about Chaver. As we said, you know, the Gra says that the biggest chesed you can do to your friend is give him kavod. That's how important it is for a person to have kavod. If a person doesn't have self-kavod, he's not healthy. And the Gra says that's the biggest chesed you can do. I was thinking it's a Gemara in, also ties into a Gemara in Ksubis. Gemara says in Ksubis, says in the Pasuk in Bereishis, Leven Shinayim Mechalav, Al Tikri Leven Shinayim, El Liban Shinayim. It says that Liban Shinayim, the smile of the white of, when you show someone the white of your teeth, it's greater than giving him milk. That the showing the white of your teeth is greater than giving him milk. Because when you give someone a smile, what's a pshat? I realize, when you give the guy a smile, pshat is you're making the person, why are you giving a smile? Why does the guy feel good? Because he's smiling at you. You are something. You are something if a guy is smiling at you. Must be something. Must be something special. Even if you don't even know the guy, a smile makes a person feel good about himself. That's why you feel good when a guy smiles at you. You feel good about yourself. So that's better than milk. That's better than physical sustenance to give the person. So someone reminded me of your site, because someone was telling me about, I won't go into specifics, but you have to really care about other people's kavod, because it's so important. It's so important. It's so important to a person's health and a person's success. How you treat your friends is so important, because they, as we said, a person's confidence is so much dependent on other people until he sets himself straight, as we'll discuss in the future. But example, a guy speaks. Listen, I know some personal experience. A guy speaks and he gives a good speech, but you feel that he should have spoken louder. He should have spoken a little more about the chasen. He should have put it through in a joke. He spoke beautifully, but he should have said a joke. Or a guy down for the Amid. He down very nicely, but he should have sang the tune a little bit slower. So I want to tell you something. Remember this. If you go over to a guy that just down for the Amid, and he down nicely, at least this, maybe by some people here, the guy davened nicely, and you go over to him and tell him, you're not an idiot. You don't tell the guy, listen, Shkayach, next time you should sing the Kayim a little bit slower. It's not, you're a little bit smarter than that. So you said, you davened so nicely, but next time you should sing the Kayim a little slower. Do you know, you killed the person. You attacked him. Why? Because a person walked out of the davening for the Amid feeling very good about himself. He feels wow. And everyone else came over to him and said he davened beautifully. And he feels good about himself. And you came over and said to him, you davened beautifully. But you should have said him Kayim Kla a little bit slower. The next hour, he's thinking to himself, I should have said him Kayim Kla slower. And he can't enjoy the fact that he did something good. He's just thinking, should have said him Kayim Kla slower. It wasn't perfect. A person speaks, and you go over to him afterwards, he spoke beautifully, he spoke so well, but you next time speak a little louder. The next time he's thinking to himself, I should have spoken louder. The next hours, he's thinking to himself, I should have spoken louder. You took away the rug under his feet. By the way, so what do you want to do if you want to help the person because you feel that it'll be good for him, as a, you know, the guy Pack is a good speaker, and you feel in the future he'll be helpful? Go to him the next day. Go to him 2 days later. Go to him a week later and tell him, it's the same as I said before, and tell him, after you finish diving, go over to him and tell him you diving beautifully. And by the way, people should have consideration. When a guy davens, when a guy speaks, when a guy gives a shir, whatever it is, the guy gives a musarvah. So you should have consideration to give the person confidence, to tell the person he did good, because otherwise he doesn't necessarily know what other people think of it. But, so go over to him and tell him you diving beautifully. You spoke so well, I can't believe you spoke so well. I'm so impressed. A week later, go over to the guy, even a day later probably, depends how much it meant to him, and go over to him and tell him, you know, next time you speak a little louder, you should know the person will say thank you for telling me. He will not be a bit insulted, because his kavod was yesterday. His chashivas for himself came from the speech. The next day, 2 days later, he's not thinking about how great he spoke. It doesn't mean everything to him anymore. Now he's ready to listen to what you have to say. Don't pull the rug under someone's feet. It's just like the Gra says that giving a person kavod is the biggest chesed. So pulling the rug under his feet, taking away his kavod, we could say, is a big hezek, is a big damage to the person. You know, We spoke about parents, we spoke about friends, obviously with teachers also, with Rebbeim. A Rebbe's job is to teach, is to be positive with the Talmidim. Not to be negative, you should, how come you wasted time? You have to give the Talmud a good feeling. You know, one of my Rebbeim, Mamish, built me up. I owe him, I'll say who it is, your Rebbe, Rebbe Kalish's father, your Rebbe's father. He Mamish built me up. When I was in 11th grade, he Mamish made me feel like I was like a guy. He Mamish made me feel like $1 million. It helped me so much. It Mamish helped me so much. You could really build someone, especially if you're a Rebbe, because the person respects you. Especially if you're a parent or a teacher, the person especially looks up to you, and you can Mamish build a person. There's a famous story with Rebbe Zacharon that Rebbe Zacharon says over that there was a person teaching in school, and they gave him a list of they told him that the class, you know, they told him, they warned him the class isn't so good, you know. And then afterwards, you know, a few weeks, the children were doing very well in the class. I'm probably messing up the story a little bit, but they came to the teacher and they said, "So how are you doing so well? No other teacher was successful with this class before." And the teacher said, "What do you mean? It's such a bright class." "Bright class? What do you mean it's a bright class? What? He said, "What do you mean? When they first came into school, they gave me a sheet next to each kid with a number, with their IQ number. Each kid is such a high IQ, 130, such high IQs. I don't know exactly the IQ number. Such IQ, such high IQs, they're such smart kids. They're such a good class." They said, they were because of the locker numbers. Do you know the difference? The teacher comes into a class thinking that the kids are smart. That's why the teacher was successful. I'll tell you, my wife, sometimes people try to warn her and tell her, you know, I want to tell you about a certain kid in your class. The child's not so good. My wife says, "I don't want to hear." Why? Forget Lashon Hara. I don't want to hear because then already I'm predetermining what image I have of the child. I'm not giving the child a fair chance. I'm going to come to the class thinking that the kids make trouble. Oh, he's such a, I better be very careful, better be very tough on him. And the child gets the impression that you think of him as a bomb troublemaker, and that's it, the child's over. Masha Enkid, if a teacher treats a child, imagine a troublemaker comes to the class and the teacher says, you know, you're such a good kid, and gives the kid love and a confidence, imagine the child might turn around, flip-flop, might turn around into a good child. You know, so many kids in school are labeled bums, are labeled troublemakers in first grade, and remain troublemakers the whole elementary career, their whole lives, at least till they get out of school, because they are labeled as a troublemaker. And they think of themselves as a troublemaker, they think of themselves as a bum in the class, because that's how one of the teachers in first grade labeled them. People are so weak, are so easily, you know, hurt by other people's images of them and other people's labeling of them. We'll talk. Our goal, the goal of this, what we're talking about here, is to develop kavod for ourselves. And in Mirtz Hashem, one day, we won't have to have everyone telling us how great we are and telling us how good we are, because we'll be able to develop enough strength that we can see it from ourselves. It says in Pirkei Avos, Eizo Mechobed, who is the honorable person? HaMechabed Es Abrios, someone that honors others. Who's an honorable person that honors others? Why? Because the honorable person, because he knows who he is and has respect for himself, he is more than happy and has no problem giving kavod to others. As we said yesterday, when a person himself is weak on his own kavod, then it's very difficult for him to give kavod to others. But I'll tell you, as Chitzonius Mareres and Sapnimius, even if a person doesn't have the self-kavod, but giving kavod to others does help your own kavod. It works backwards. Giving kavod to others, we treat our chaverim with kavod and tell them and give them respect. That, by the way, makes us into a mechobed. Eventually, it helps us feel kavod for ourselves. again, we have to be so careful how we treat our children. There's no, you're responsible for your child. You are so responsible. You have to. You're so. There's no words. I could scream and scream and scream about it. Pretend I'm screaming. And Mir Tashem, you'll be parents. You're totally responsible to give your kid as much love and confidence as possible. It starts when they're a little child, a baby. Kiss them, hug them, but don't stop. People think that only babies, only when they're 3-4 months old, you know, and the little children, 1-year-old, 2-year-old, people are so nice to them, they give them kisses. It doesn't have to stop at 1 or 2. People stop, and then at 4 or 5, 6, they're always yelling at them, why'd you flush the pictures down the toilet? Why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? Yeah.
Does that happen to Rosa?
No. Too young. Soon.
That's a pretty good game.
You punish them with love. People sometimes give a lot of love to a baby, an infant, and then once it gets a little older, they stop. We should not stop. We can't hug them and kiss them as much because they might not like it. But we could hug them sometimes, and we could tell them how much we love them, how much we love the child, how proud we are of the child. There's not enough. There's not enough. It has to be real. Because if you work on yourself, it'll be real. You'll appreciate everything. By the way, we'll end with this thought. Parents, b'chlal, you should know the biggest bracha for a person. This is children. Such a bracha. Children are such a big bracha for a parent. But you know, there's some parents, many parents, you know, that don't enjoy their kids. And this affects everything. They don't enjoy their kids. They're always, oh, but he should be doing this. And they love the child. There's no question. Every parent loves his child. They'll give up their life for the child. They do. You know how hard the parents work to give their children money and this and that and that? Yet they forget to tell them they love them. They miss out on the big things. They buy them rollerblades and take them on vacations. And they don't do what the kid really needs. The kid doesn't need vacation. He doesn't need rollerblades. He needs love. But parents don't enjoy their children. They're always, even though they love them, but they're always complaining and this and that. And they don't get full love. We should squeeze out. Mirtz Hashem, I should work on it, Mirtz Hashem. You guys, one day, squeeze out all the nachas possible. I love parents that smell. I love parents that feel that when you tell them that their child is doing well, they have a big smile and they feel so good. That's good. You should feel so good because this is your child. You were zeichah to be a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring him into this world. When you see your little child and you see your bigger child, you should get so much nachas from him. Just when you see him, you should feel good. Just when you play with him and sing with him and whatever, you should enjoy him to the fullest degree. It's appreciating what the matana that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. So many parents don't squeeze out enjoyment from their kids. They don't squeeze out. They don't mamash. We should get so much pleasure from our children. Even if they don't become a doctor, don't become a lawyer, we should get so much pleasure. This is where Zaycha to be a part of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring this creature into this world, this beautiful creature, this fine creature, the creature that's doing mitzvahs, such a schos. Unfortunately, there are people that are never zaycha to that schos. It's such a big schos. People enjoy the child. Give the child all the love possible. It's mamish. It's critical. Because otherwise, what happens is, the child suffers. One day someone might straight a man or go to a psychologist, go to a musrvah, but there's no comparison between a child that was developed properly by his parents and a child that wasn't. And alright, maybe tomorrow we'll talk about how we try to work on giving kavod to ourselves. Alright. Is that